One of the things we like about Good Returns TV is we always try to get guests from overseas on the program when they're out here. And today we're very fortunate to have Will Lowe from Edinburgh to come and join us. And Will is the head of global equities for Nikko Asset Management. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
Nice to have you here. Tell me, look, you know, there's a lot of talk at the moment in the market, so we're a long way through this bull run cycle. Where do you think we're at the moment, and where do you think we're heading?
I think we're at a very interesting stage, to be honest. I think equities over the very long term, I think, are a fantastic place to be. Having said that, you know, in more recent times, since the financial crisis, a large part of your gains within equities have certainly come from the rise of overall asset prices, undoubtedly quantitative easing being a key part of that. I don't know how much that's going to change, but we do know that clearly quantitative tightening is beginning to emerge, or has emerged in the States.
Yes.
So the liquidity environment with rising rates, et cetera, means I think valuation gains as a source of excess return are not impossible, but they're probably looking a lot less likely.
Much harder, yeah.
Yeah, so therefore owning the right businesses that can keep growing and delivering cash flow and are not valued appropriately for that, I think is really what's going to drive your returns. And ultimately, that's exactly what we look for when we're trying to find companies to invest in and to build portfolios.
So how are the passive funds going to go in that environment? You're making some comments on that before.
Well, passive do what they do. With passive, you get a bit of exposure to everything. But within markets, there's clearly always an environment for clear winners and losers. Undoubtedly, I think technological disruption is a key part of that. And I think, taking example, the retail landscape, in terms of one just visit, certainly in the UK, maybe coming down this corner of the world sometime soon as well, but you go down the high street and the degree to which many shops and businesses have disappeared due to the transfer to online as a distribution methodology, of which, of course, Amazon is most synonymous with that trend.
And disruption was the theme of the Nikko conference you're at down here in New Zealand. So that's a big theme in your investing style at the moment, or your thinking?
Well,
or how big is that?
I think when you're trying to work out which are the businesses that can compound up and grow due to the strength of their franchise and ability to keep delivering high returns on capital, I think you'd be remiss not to consider disruption. And disruption has been around for 200 years.
Yeah, it's not a new thing, but we seem to be sort of focusing on it.
No, I think undoubtedly maybe the pace at which the change is taking place with the kind of the internet society that we've got today, the degree to which technology is maybe bringing forward the pace of change is a possibility, but at the end of the day, change is nothing new.
No.
You know, if you'd invested in the canals in the early 1800s, by 1812 and onwards, the railways arrived and completely undermined your business very quickly, you knew about disruption pretty quickly as well. So it is, in fact, nothing new, but it may, of course, be something slightly faster.
And so what are some of the disruption themes you like at the moment?
We don't tend to focus through the lens of disruption. We focus through the lens of companies, and we're looking for companies that we call future quality. And for us, they're going to attain and sustain high returns on capital, and which means they've got to have a good franchise, they've got to have the right management team, they've got to have a quality balance sheet, and the valuation of all that growth and return we expect is not in the price. So, to what degree, you know, they can achieve all those? You know, disruption in many ways can dictate whether they are attaining returns and sustaining them or not, or in fact they're actually being compromised by a new technology, a new competitor or something coming along. So if that's that's typically the lens we would look through.
Yeah, and so as we were talking at the start, we've come quite a long way through the cycle. How worried are you that we might be getting to the end and there's a downturn coming?
Well, I think what you do know is that the cost of money is going up. So I think the observation we would have within markets, there's a couple of things going on. First of all, from a global growth perspective, you are certainly seeing both rising rates, quantitative tightening, you've got trade wars, and who knows exactly where that's going to end up, of course. Cross-border dollar financing is becoming more difficult, and I think various emerging markets are a pretty good litmus test of that. And all of that combined even within Europe as well, where there's some political uncertainties, undoubtedly close to my own heart, living and working in the UK. I won't get drawn into politics on that one, but undoubtedly I think everyone's aware it's challenging. All of those are drawing investors to think that clearly that the cycle and the degree to which the growth in the overall GDP or nominal growth is going to transfer wealth to good companies or bad companies. There was more optimism around that 12 months ago. Mm. I would suggest to you, as we sit here today, people are becoming a little bit more wary that maybe we're still in a world of relatively low growth, albeit the US still growing a bit faster, but still generally low growth, lots of debt, and effectively not stopped growing, so I'm not calling recession, but to suggest that there's a takeoff in economic activity seems unlikely.
So what are the factors do you think will be likely to cause a downturn?
Well, obviously the degree to which that transfer of global hegemony taking place or the desire to take place from potentially from the US to China has all sorts of ramifications, and dare I say it, geopolitics and domestic politics are all involved in that. So knowing exactly the roadmap is difficult. But clearly that is something that probably deservedly gets headlines today, because you know the reshaping of political forces can have implications you don't expect. So if there's one thing that's more likely to cause the downturn, it would probably be that, rather than at this point in time any excessive exuberance from central banks.
So it must make it quite hard to just sit there and as a guy running a global equities portfolio to sit there and look at that and say, well, how do we position ourselves, because there's so many uncertainties around it. So how do you sort of do that?
Focus on your companies. You know, if you know exactly what you're looking for, the attributes of individual companies, trying to find businesses that meet the criteria you're looking for, and wherever possible you can find return drivers of why they're going to be sustaining or indeed improving the returns, driven by things that have got nothing to do with tweets of Mr. Trump or otherwise. You know, you look for long-term, you know, business models and structural drivers of what may be going on. I think they're much more important to focus on.
So your outlook for the markets going forward, are you reasonably positive?
I'm positive in finding relative winners within the market, which in essence is what. So our job is not to call the market.
No.
I think the clients who invest in our funds can make that cash choice or alternatives. But if they want to be in equities, being the best equities globally that are more likely to compound up the capital, I think that's how we see ourselves.
And because you take quite concentrated positions in your portfolios, don't you? So once you've got the good company, it's hanging on to them.
Oh, no, absolutely. I think concentration, it depends on the eye of the vendor. For some people, it could be 100 stock portfolio, some it could be a 10 or 20. For us, we found a 40 stock global portfolio picked very much by a team of investors, and that's exactly how we operate. We found that a reasonable kind of dispersion of ideas across both geographies and sectors allows you to capture lots of individual ideas, i.e. stock picking, to be key driver of your returns. We felt that's a pretty appropriate way. And our global portfolios, they've got 40 stocks in them.
Yeah. And do you see much difference between sort of, you know, the developed markets and the emerging markets in terms of how you're investing?
Everyone loves to put emerging markets in one big bucket, because we've grown up and been conditioned by people buying it as an asset class via passive funds or ETFs or indeed peddled brick type solutions. You know, like all of those are marketing veneer from in many ways from the investment community. You're picking companies. And indeed individual countries and the risk rewards or the companies within them can be very different. And most importantly, the countries that are not reliant on other people's money, because I think what we see today is that other people's money, i.e. dollar financing cross border, is becoming less available and certainly going up in price if it is. And for those who've been reliant on that cheap money, I think they're being found out. You know, to use that quote from Mr. Buffett, you find out who's swimming naked when the tide goes out, and there's no doubt Turkey and Argentina are in the shallows and have got no costumes on.
Yes, absolutely, you're right. Look, thank you very much for your time. That's a good place to leave it. So again, thanks for coming in. Well, cheers.
Thank you.
Thank you.